Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 50 years ago or more, Rudolf Flesch wrote a book called The Art of Plain Talk, a book that in our time was frequently recommended by professors. And in that book, he pleaded for clarity and plainness in speech, doing away with the fog and difficulty. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have the account of Jesus, the parable of the sower, and each of them follows with a variation on the words that we have just heard. Disciples coming to Jesus and saying, "Why do you speak in parables?" And the answer of Jesus, drawn from Isaiah chapter 6, is the same in the minds and in the pens of all those writers. For he says, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them in parables." Why the mystery? Why not plain talk? After all, is not the gospel intended to be communicated simply and plainly and not hidden? Why the mystery? And why do we find not only this word here in the gospels, but elsewhere liberally sprinkled throughout the New Testament? The mysteries of the kingdom of God. What is a mystery? For a moment, we need to give a little attention to that. The word itself is borrowed out of secular culture. The word mystery comes out of the times before the New Testament itself, from the mystery religions, the cults whose devotees had to undergo initiation in secret rites. They could have no access to or knowledge of that cult until they did so. So a mystery, therefore, is that which is secret and hidden until one is let in on the secret and is privileged to hear it. We need to keep this in mind whenever we run across the expression mystery and mysteries in the scriptures. What do the mysteries do? Mysteries conceal and reveal. The mystery of the kingdom of God also conceals and reveals. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. There is a certain arrogance in sinful humanity by which we in our natures determine that we can do what we want to do, go where we want to go, know what we want to know. We should be able to crack anything open, also intellectually. But the scriptures have us to know that even a Nobel Prize mind cannot bully his way into God's kingdom. We can't crash the party. Salvation is not a prize to be seized by the human mind. Brain power won't do it. St. Paul says, "Not many wise and not many mighty make it." You just can't figure it out. It's hidden from the natural mind. It is a mystery. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples, and the reason why he would speak in an enigma, in a parable, in a paradox, and other, what the Gospels call, hard sayings. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him." And later in the same chapter, he says, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The mysteries of God are hidden from the wise and prudent and revealed to babes. "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive." Like a drum beat, those words keep coming up again and again. The mysteries of God are denied to human reason. And that does not mean that preaching, therefore, is nonsense and babbling. Does preaching make any sense? Not to the human mind. But that does not mean that it is nonsense, because it is the wisdom of God and can be understood only when God gives it and reveals it. Is it the purpose then of Jesus' parables primarily to conceal, to deny, to exclude, to keep the sinner out in the cold? Absolutely not. For Jesus follows with these words, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it." It has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom. The givenness of the gospel, the givenness of grace, that we are unable totally, but God in his grace not only has redeemed us by the power of the blood of his only begotten Son, but through the working of his Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments, he places it into our hearts to believe it. Or as Luther has taught us, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies. That is the initiation, God's initiation into this mystery, that he gives it to us. The Apostle Paul speaks powerfully about this mystery in 1 Timothy chapter 3 when he says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." And then in a series of short phrases, he characterizes wherein that mystery consists. For he goes on to say, "God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." The words ring like a creed, and they center in Christ. They are all about Christ and his work. Does God seek in this mystery to bring us poor sinners to ruin and destruction? Not at all. This mystery embodies the very elements of our salvation. Christ's incarnation, the redemptive work, his ascension, the proclamation of the gospel. And so we have a mystery here by which God has given our salvation, impenetrable to the human mind, but opened up and given to us, and for us to give to all the world through the preaching of the gospel, the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.